Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Ed McKnight. And today on the show, we've got another Case Study Sunday. And we are so pleased to be joined all the way from Central Otago by Hannah. Hannah, welcome along to the show.
Thanks, Ed. Long time listener, first time caller.
How good. Well, it's great to have you here. And for any long term listeners, you will notice that I don't have Andrew with me today. He's unfortunately got a bit of a medical appointment that went over time. But he's all good. He'll be back soon for tomorrow's episode. But Hannah, it's just you and me for today. Now, what I really want to just get an understanding of is a bit about your background, where you're from, what you do, those kinds of things, so that everybody at home can just get a sense of where you are at in life.
Yeah, no worries at all. So I was living in Christchurch. I moved there for university and shifted around a wee bit, but we basically settled there. At the moment, I live in Central Otago, though. I have been here for nearly 2 years coming up, and I work full-time for a food testing and assurance company. I'm in the sales and customer solutions team. My background's basically quality assurance and compliance in the food industry, so I've got, corporate career.
And so how do you go from that to investing in property?
Yeah, great question. Mainly, I started listening to the Property Academy podcast, and that got all the wheels turning, so it wasn't really something that I had considered before then. So I had been working for 4 or 5 years full-time in Christchurch by that point, and had been flatting and living with a partner until I basically found myself single and homeless with two cats. So I think I was looking around at houses at that point, so I had some money saved up for a deposit and things like that, just because there's nowhere else to put it. And I do remember I had a friend staying with me, and her dad's a builder, and she convinced me that building a house would be a really good experience. So then I started living at sections and bought a section in a subdivision in Rolleston in 2018, it was. Yeah, and then started looking at house plans and stuff like that, got the house designed, and it was all built right before Christmas in 2019. Throughout the design process as well, I knew it wasn't going to be my forever home, although I didn't have any other options at the time. So I just sort of kept in mind as we were designing it, for resale and potentially for renting it out as well. So I had extra features, or made sure I had features like a separate toilet and two bathrooms and big garage and a easy care garden and then section, all that sort of stuff. I lived there for a couple of years. And then, started listening to the podcast, reached out, got in touch with Candy, because I knew that my house had increased in value, both from buying and going through the build process.
And how much had it increased in value from? So what did you kind of end up buying it for, and how much had it increased in value to?
Okay, so the section was 185 at the time, and then the build was 355 all told. And then when I reached out to Kathy in beginning of 2022, the online values were putting in around 800.
Yeah, cool.
So quite a sizable jump there.
Yeah, so you spent about 540K on the section and building it. And then what do you say it was?
800 plus.
Yeah, call it 800. So it had gone up 260K. It always amazes me how quickly, and of course that was quite a hot market, but how quickly properties can go up in value sometimes. And some of that uplift came from you deciding to take the risk buying a section and building a property on it. But 260K, it'd take you forever to save that amount of money.
Yeah, no way. Yeah. So learning the podcast was there, and that sort of opened my eyes to the fact that I could use that equity for something.
Now, I want to dig into, in a second, the additional features you decided to add into that property to make it tenant ready. But you said that your friend convinced you it would be a good experience to build a house. And what I want to know is, was it a good experience building the house?
It was, yeah. The builder that I went with was a friend with somebody that I worked with at the time. And they were excellent to deal with and really good communication. And I even made a couple of minor changes throughout the build process as well, as I changed my mind on things. But yeah, it was really, really fun. And I thought having to make all those decisions on everything and all the different shades of white paint there are for the walls, and they all look exactly the same. I thought it would all be really hard and overwhelming, but it was actually really fun. Yeah.
Nice. Well, you might be one of the only people ever to build a house and think, oh, what a wonderful experience
that
was. What a
great thing, yeah.
And you mentioned that you added in a number of extra features, or you designed the house so that you could tenant it out later on. What were some of those things you added in? And you mentioned a few of them. And what was your thinking about each of those?
So it's 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom. And as I said, there's a separate toilet. And the master bedroom obviously has an ensuite. There's also a separate laundry. And it's got quite good indoor-outdoor flow. It is open plan, but the living area is sort of semi-partitioned as well, though it's not a separate lounge. And then I had a larger garage for additional storage. And as I said, the landscaping, like the sprinklers all built in and stuff like that. So it's really low maintenance. Just trying to think about what would set it apart from the spec houses in Rolleston, or like the other houses in Rolleston, like what would make my property stand out. And I thought that those things would just improve the livability of it. I don't know whether I would feel the same now if I knew I was purely building a house only to rent out as a rental property, but I also wanted to be comfortable living there. As I said, I knew it wasn't going to be forever, but it was until the next best thing came along. So,
and now you did end up turning that property into a rental property. Tell us the story about how that happened.
Yeah, so in between being single and homeless in 2018, it was just before I started talking with Kathy, actually. Yeah, I met my current partner who lives down here at the Central Otago. So what I originally talked with Kathy about and the wealth plan and stuff like that didn't factor in me being able to rent out my Rolleston house. So the original wealth plan has changed a wee bit, but essentially I moved in with my partner in Central Otago and magically had a second rental property.
That's cool. So you've now got two rental properties that are separate from where you're living. So let's come to the wealth plan, because something that maybe we don't talk about enough on the Property Academy podcast is anyone who sees one of our financial advisors walks away with what we call a wealth plan, which is effectively just all of the numbers run for you to figure out, well, what's your goal? How many properties do you then need to hit your goal? So thinking about the wealth plan that you put together, what sort of goals did you have when you put together that financial plan?
It was fairly modest, but also fairly aggressive. So all my banking was with NZ Home Loans at the time. And so I had the debt NAB and how quickly I could repay my mortgage. And that was my goal. And I, you know, had it down to 7 years if I did all these things. I had a flatmate and blah, blah, blah. So the original goal with Kathy was a 50K passive income in 7 years by the time my house was paid off. That has changed now because I'm no longer paying down the Rolleston mortgage as aggressively as I was. So I have more spare cash to top them up and string to problems and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, that was the goal at the time.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say you needed more cash to go to all of the lovely wineries down in Central Otago. And how did you come to that 50K passive income goal? Because I imagine, like, I don't know how old you are, Hannah, but I'm pretty sure that in 7 years you're not going to be 65. So I'm glad you're taking the head. So how did you decide I want 50K of passive income in 7 years?
So I don't actually remember the thought process behind that. And I am quite confident in saying I probably plucked it out of thin air a little bit. But the reason, my motivation for having a passive income is because I would like to be able to have more choice around how much I work, basically. So being able to work less, part-time, contract, just do work I enjoy, you know, and not just be locked into having to earn a certain amount of money to support my lifestyle. You know, I'd rather just have the spare time, and then if that, yeah, money was there to allow me the freedom to do that, then yeah, that's my motivation.
And let's dig into that a little bit more. So let's say that we zoom 7 years into the future. It's now 2031. And let's just say you did have that 50K a year passive income. What sort of choices would that give you? What would that look like?
Likely it would allow me to work part-time or at least less than 40 hours a week so that I would have more spare time to do the things that I really enjoy. It would give me the freedom to start my own business. I've always sort of wanted to give that a go, but I'm not a business person normally. So not having so much risk around that, I think, would be a big unlock for me as well. Yeah,
because you've got something to fall back upon. And so let's talk about that specific goal. You bought one investment property through Opus Partners, but now you've also got this other one that you've turned into an investment property. So if you were to rerun the numbers today, how are you tracking for that kind of 50K passive income goal?
We did rerun the numbers, Kathy and I, in July last year when the townhouse settled. And it's actually really close. So between those two properties, there's only a 7% gap left, essentially. We're at 93%.
Yeah. And do you recall, what goal are you planning to use? So in our book, Wealth Plan, we talk about both the nest egg strategy and the golden goose strategy. We also talk about it here on the podcast. You know which one you're going for there?
Remind me what they are.
I'm pretty sure it's the golden goose. That's the passive income
one.
That one.
Yeah, we'll go
that
the golden goose.
And just for any new listeners of the show, what that effectively means, to kind of have a passive income, we always assume you can get about a 4% yield off whatever assets you have. So to create a $50,000 passive income, you need roughly about $1.25 million worth of assets, depending on, you know, how much tax we're factoring in and those kinds of things. But 1.25 mil, and I suppose what the numbers would be for Hannah is you've got two investment properties over the next 7 years. How much do we think those might increase in value? And you can make some assumptions about that. How much debt is going to be paid off? And, you know, it'll probably get you pretty close to that, depending on how large your mortgages are on your Rolleston property at the moment. So you said that there's still a bit of a gap between what you're currently on track for and your ultimate goal for what you want. So what's next for you in terms of investing?
According to the plan, in year five, which would be about 2027, if my calculations are correct, it would just be purchasing another property. Yeah.
And then one thing I'm interested in is you've got these two properties. You're now living with your partner in central Otago. What sort of conversations are you having about bringing them in on your investment journey?
At the moment, we're just keeping everything separate because of the salary that I earn and the fact I don't have any other debts. I've been able to go it alone, and that's where we're at the moment. So yeah, in the future, that might change. Or, you know, it's been a couple of years now, so it probably technically has changed from a legal perspective, but yeah, it's sort of my statement I'm doing.
Yeah, cool. Oh, Hannah, we're going to have to get you to re-listen to the relationship property episodes. And just before we wrap up, what was that second property you ended up purchasing? Whereabouts did you buy and what did you buy?
It was a two-bedroom townhouse in Spraydon in Christchurch.
And what was the reason you decided to buy your second property in Christchurch? So both in Canterbury, rather than looking at another area in the country to diversify?
Candy and I did discuss that, and she did have other property options, and like in particular Auckland would have been really ideal because I was quite keen to diversify the portfolio, even though my house in Rolleston I was living at the time. But just from the options available at the time, Christchurch or the Spraydon property had a good ROI, like the numbers stacked up, and it was within budget, you know, and comfortable for me. So it was just the right decision at the time. But yeah, I would like to change, you know, to invest in a different area in New Zealand in the future, for sure, just in case.
And it's quite wonderful, Hannah, really, because you started this episode by saying you became a property investor because you listened to two guys talk it all, yelling at each other on a podcast, and you've gone from that and being, in your words, homeless to now having two investment properties. Homeless not in the usual technical sense, but homeless nonetheless, to owning two investment properties. My question is, what advice would you have for other listeners of the show?
I guess that I am a pretty good example of someone who knows nothing being able to get into property investing through using Opus Partners. Just don't be afraid to use resources out there or to get help from, you know, you don't have to know everything, because in my case, I know barely anything at all about property investing. But there are companies out there that enable this, such as Opus. And so, don't be afraid to consider it.
And it's important to mention as well that, of course, it's not just us. You mentioned that you've also had help from New Zealand Home Loans, and they are a great example of the sort of companies you're talking about, where they are mortgage advisors and their strategy is helping pay off their home mortgages faster. And they've got a different strategy and a different set of software called DebtNav, which you mentioned as well, that people use to pay off their mortgages faster. So there are a number of different companies out there depending on what you are personally trying to achieve. But Hannah, thanks so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. And for anybody else out there, if you want to come on the show, we want to hear your stories. You don't have to have worked with us here at Opus Partners. We just want to hear the cool stories about people like Hannah and other property investors who are out there in the country, whether you've got one investment property or 100 investment properties. We want to hear the stories. You can just send me an email, ed@opuspartners.co.nz. Right, let's wrap it up there, but please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us get the message out to more people. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight, and we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.